Venerable Bhikkhus, brothers and sisters, the subject of the discourse today is the five aggregates, or in other words, the five grasping groups. This is a difficult subject for one to understand. No clear definition of the five grasping groups has been given anywhere to cover the entire subject, but there are certain references, and one such reference appears in the Mahatti Padavatma Sutta, the big footprint of the elephant, in the middle discourses. We have to have proper understanding how a thought is created if one is going to have a clear understanding of the five grasping groups, because these five groups are closely associated with the thought created. Thoughts are created at six places, or connected with six things, so to say. They are the visual object that attract the eye, then of course experience noises or sounds through the ear, smells through the nose, taste through the tongue, contact through the body, and mental objects through the mind. These are the six places connected with thoughts are created. The creation of a thought and the various factors that contribute to create the thought has a part to play in the five grasping groups. Therefore, one has to have a very clear notion how a thought is created. These six sense bases are connected to the creation of six varieties of thoughts. Variety there means the difference in one thought from the other is the object of the thought, not the creation as such of the thought. If I give an example, I see, when I create a thought, I see through my eyes, or I observe a visual object. Then again, I can create a thought and I can hear something through my ears. Whereas the act of creation of the thought, it remains the same. Only thing is, they perform two different tasks. That all depends upon the sense base connected with the thought is created, and the visual object, or whatever the object may be, that attracts the sense base. Now what happens when an object that attracts the sense base occurs or takes place? The sense base has a contrivance which can attract an object, depending on the object, the contrivance has been adapted. The eye has a retina, it can have a reflection of the visual object. The ear has a very soft eardrum, which can vibrate when connected with sound it attracts. The nose has a contrivance in the middle of the nose, the shape of a hoof of a goat, which can attract smells. Then we have the tongue. In the middle of the tongue, there is a sensitive spot. And all tastes, if you want to understand clearly what a taste is and what variety of tastes and what different the tastes are, it is at that spot that those particulars are provided through a thought. Then of course we have the contact. Entire body is subject to contact except the fingernails and the hair. Thinking, of course, a mental object is entertained by the mind. Now, first instance is the object attracting the sense base. For example, a visual object, a form, is attracted to this eye. The reflection of that eye, visual object, is cast in the retina. When that physical contact takes place in respect to not only eye, in respect to the ear, in respect to the nose, in respect of your tongue, in respect of your body, and in respect even of your mind, then the consciousness participates in the activity. Consciousness is a mental force, and it is given the term consciousness when it participates in the activities of the sense basis. Prior to that, it is just energy, nothing else. It has no color or form, but there is the force, mental force. Now, these three getting together is done by one of the five mental factors which are created by the consciousness. The five mental factors created by the consciousness are contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention. The word contact, it has a very, very deep meaning, and also it plays a vital role in the creation of thoughts. After all, as I mentioned earlier, only at six places thoughts are created. And this contact must be there, contact with the eye with the visual object, the ear with the sound or noise, the nose with the smell, the tongue with the food, or whatever it may be, tasty food. Then of course you have the body contact, something outside, and the mind contacting a mental object. When the contact takes place, there is something specific happens there. After all, we observe that the ear is a physical object, and the visual object too is a physical thing. So two physical things contact each other through the contrivance specially prepared for receiving such an object by the ear or by the eye or whatever it may be. These are two physical things getting together. And then when the consciousness participates in such activity, then the five mental factors are put into operation. The first factor is contact, as I told you, which brings about getting these three things together. What are the three things? For instance, if you take the eye as the mental base, the eye plus the visual object plus the consciousness are put together. When consciousness and physical objects are joined together or put together, it's a mental creation more than anything else. That's clear to you. It's a mental creation. You observe physical objects through your mind. Therefore, what contact does is through contact, the physical object and the function of the eye, they all become a mental performance from there onwards. Now, contact is one of the common mental factors. There are five common mental factors, common to all the sense bases. That's why they are common mental factors. Contact is the first mental factor. Putting the three together as a mental creation. And then you have the next mental factor, feeling. Feeling gives you an idea about the object in the nature of whether you like the object or you do not like the object. These are the two things that happen there. One of two things. If it is a noise, you like the noise or you do not like the noise. If it is a smell, you like the smell or do not like the smell. If it is the taste, you know you like the taste or you do not like the taste. Physical contact, whether you like the contact or you do not like the contact. Mentally, of course, when you receive this, either you to your liking or not to your liking is clear. Now this is what the feeling does. Bear in mind, when you use the feeling, do not come to the wrong conclusion that there is an opportunity for one to feel. No. For one to feel, there must be another thought Now here we are creating a thought for the performance of an activity by a sense base. In the midst of that creation, you can't have a feeling coming into play and then creating a fresh thought. No. Feeling only gives you the impression whether that object that has contact with the sense base is something to your liking or not to your liking. That's all. There's no opportunity for one to feel or one to create a thought and feel about it. That's the performance that is done subsequently after the thought has been created to perform the act of the sense base. Then after that you get the perception which indicates to you what that object is that you are confronted with. That is, whether it's a house or a boy, whatever it may be. The visual object, in this case, is identified. Object that attracts the nose is identified by this feeling. Similarly, other instances also by the mental factor feeling, you identify the object. Mental factor of perception, you identify the object. Mental factor feeling gives you only the impression whether it's good or bad. Now, after the perception, then you have to perform the task of either seeing, or hearing, or smelling, or tasting, or contacting, or thinking. That's called the sankhara. A formation is created. And there in the creation of that form, volition plays a vital role, chetana. And Buddha clearly indicated that all your karmic acts are identified as good or bad upon the chetana, that is the volition, created flow committing that act. Also, volition gives you a force to the act. If it's a clear volition, like, let us say, free from attachment, free from aversion, and the full awareness of the act is there, then that volitional act is a very, very clear, forceful act. If there are lapses, on the other hand, it becomes a weak act. Therefore, volition plays a vital role, and in that, what you do is you see with your eyes, you hear with your ears, you smell with your nose, you contact with your tongue and understand the taste, and then you contact with the body and thinking. This goes on. Now we have performed the act. Now in all these activities, that is, in the case of contact and feeling and perception and volition, attention plays a vital role. Attention is the quality of the mind that promptly enables one to pick up the item in a regular manner. In other words, it promotes your thinking, helping you in every respect to create a thought. Attention, manasikar. That is how a thought is created. When these five mental factors are activated by a sudden flash, so to say, there is no time for you to waste. This is the mental factor feeling, now thinking whether it's good or bad, or that sort of thing. In a flash, in a split second, all these five mental factors complete their task in performing the activities due to it. Buddha compares this to something inflammable catching fire, like petroleum. If you keep a fire close to a vessel containing petroleum, you see, you find there will be a sudden flash, it will catch fire in a split second. Likewise, these five mental factors, they perform their task very quickly. And one cannot separate one from the other. That is, you can't say when feeling started, you can't say when feeling ended, you can't say when perception started, when perception is all in one bunch perform their task, because the spontaneous activity of the mind in creating a thought to enable you to experience something through a sense base is a very, very quick act. You open your eyes, you see. And a voice, noise contacts the ear, you hear. In the same way, performing the other sense base activities are very quickly done. Therefore, there is no delaying for the mental factors to participate and then perform their task clearly. Now we have created a thought. It is this thought, brothers and sisters, that helps you to see through your eyes, that helps you to hear with through your nose, or hear through your ears, that helps you to smell something through the nose, that helps you to taste something through the tongue, that helps you to contact something through the body, and that helps you to think. It is this thought. Now the question that has to be asked is, in the creation of this thought, what part the five aggregates play? Five grasping group play? What is their place? How do they occur? What is the object of such occurring along with this thought? That I have to emphasize. It is in this spontaneous activity of the mind, in the creation of a thought, brothers and sisters, that these five grasping groups are also mentally created. That's a mental creation. And the very mental factors that help you to create the thought contributes in creation this delusion in your mind. I call it a delusion because there is no substance in that creation. If five grasping groups getting together creates so-called a being in you as the author of all your activities. This is a mental impression. And the mental impression has been created as a result of these five things getting together. First is grasping group of form. I told you that contact, that is, mental factor contacts, creates that physical contact. And also, in that, the vital aspect is it through the form that is created. The body you wear, it's through that body that contact takes place. Something connected with the body. That is what mental factor contact does. Grasping group of contact. In the grasping group of feeling, it performs the same act like that of the activity it created in building a thought or creating a thought. You identify the object as something to your liking or not to your liking. Grasping group perception, that too plays the same role as that of the in the creation of a thought. They are enabling you to identify the object according to your knowledge. In the grasping group of volition, it goes further, not only in creating the volition as a mental state, but pursuing that volition to activity in the way of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. The five sense places perform their tasks in committing the act of volitional activity. And for all this, consciousness played a vital role. After all, I have emphasized that in the creation of mental factors, it is the consciousness that creates these mental factors. And consciousness plays a vital role. Now, when these five grasping groups are created, what is the impression you receive as a worldling? I wish to emphasize this fact, that in creating a thought to perform the activity of a sense base, these five-point mental factors occur. And the very same factors, at the same time when it is creating the thought, creates this delusion in you. It is not a separate act performed by the mental factors. In activating a thought in your mind, creation of a thought in your mind, by the performance of the consciousness and the mental factors, this aspect of creating of the five grasping groups also occur. That is something which you must bear in mind. Then what happens? Now you have seen something through your eyes, but you get the feeling that there is somebody within in you who has seen it. That is the delusion that is created. The author of all your sense-based activities is yourself, and that impression that you are the author is created by these five grasping groups. If you analyze the very terms used to describe these five common factors in creating this delusion, you find grasping is one quality it has. The five things like the contact, feeling, perception, volitional activity and the vijnana, that is consciousness, they are all clasping together, put together to create something imaginary. That is why they are called grasping group. This group of fightings, clinging together, promoted by desire, that creates a so-called being in you. It's purely an imagination. And it's a delusion. The common mental factors were meant to create a thought. While that act has been committed by the five mental factors, you have also created this delusion in you that the author of that act is a being. And you identify that being to yourself, that you are the being, because your body has become the center, the core of all this creation. Therefore, the person who possesses this body is the being they have created. You must clearly bear that in mind. Your personality, your physical form plays a vital role. And you remember that contact is the thing that put together the eye and its object, the visual object, and the consciousness. And when these three are put together by contact, likewise in the case of the other sense bases, you will find this delusion is created that they are so-called being, and that being is no other person other than yourself possessing this form. That is the aspect that you have to keep in mind. Now this occurs in all activities of sense bases. You see something as a result of cause and effect. But the impression you get is as a result of this situation, the creating of the five grasping groups, that there is yourself to commit in that act with your body as the owner, as the owner's body who performed the act. Centering round your body this activity takes place. Same with your nose, same with your tongue, same with your ears, same with your body and mind. You see something with your eyes, in the act of seeing, he also creates the delusion that there is a seer, person who sees. And person who sees is no other person other than the person who has his body as the physical appearance of this so-called being. Now we come to the conclusion that this is a delusion. How do we come to the conclusion that it's a delusion? But it's just a false view that we have created. Buddha, in describing the activities of the five mental factors, also indicated that along with these mental factors, there is a false impression created in your mind that there is a being built around your body, your personality. And for the creation of that being, there are the five things, that is contact, feeling, perception, volitional activity and the consciousness. Buddha, in order to show you clearly that a mental creation is the nature of a thought, is also a fabrication. It bears no substance as one thinks it has. It's purely a creation of mind. In order to impress you that it's purely a creation and nothing else, he compares the activities of five mental factors to physical objects in comparing them, so that when you know the object, you have an idea that that mental factor is of this nature. Now, Buddha compared the mental factor contact to a collection of form. What is form? When there is an obstruction to flowing water, naturally due to the contact of the water with that object, there arises bubbles, air bubbles. They don't last long, they arise and pass away. But a large number of those being created at the same time, there is some showing or displaying that there is an object there. But in fact, there is no object at all, it's a collection of form and nothing else. what is valuable in form, it's just the creation and nothing else, it arises and passes away. A bubble of water. That is compared to mental factor contact. Mental factor feeling is compared to a bubble of water that arises when a drop of rain falls on water. A bubble is created. You see it clearly, but it arises and passes away. It has no life. The impression is created that there is some creation by when the water bubble of when the drop of water contacts the surface of the water. But beyond that, it just disappears and does not last in a fraction of a second. That is compared to your feelings. There is some indication to your mind that you have the feeling is there, but it is just a bubble of water, nothing else. Doesn't last long. Then perception is compared to mirage. During the time when the sun has reached highest point in the way of, let's say, time being about 12 o'clock, when you walk along a road, you find ahead of you there is a stretch of water. It can be clearly seen with your eyes. You go to that spot and find that it is no longer there, it is somewhere else. This is completely a delusion created by the mind. And that is compared to the perceptions. Perception is an object that you have identified, in fact, that indicates that there is something like an object existing, but in fact there is nothing there. Isn't that the display of the correct meaning of anicca? Nothing. There is something to be seen, but there is nothing in that. Then when volitional activities, we commit a lot of activities, and the immediate cause for such activity being committed is the creation of a volition in you. Mind is the forerunner of all activities. So you create a thought and you put into execution that thought in the way of committing an act. Now this volition or volitional activities are compared to wrappings one over the other that you discover when you open up a trunk of a tender plant and tree. There is no pit in that, no hardwood in that. It's just one over the other. The stem of the leaf, so to say, has folded itself one over the other and created this stem which indicates to you, or which is shown from outside as something which has some substance, but it has no substance at all. Those are your activities. What are your activities? The formations you create. Formation of seeing. Nothing. Formation of smelling. Nothing. Formation of hearing. There are two. Nothing in that. Formation of volitional activity. You see. The activities, the six sense bases are the formations you have created. And what are these formations? If you carefully analyze the comparison given by Buddha, that these formations are like a trunk of a tender plant and tree, because there is no hardwood in that, it's just several leaves folding one over the other and creating this thickness of the trunk of the plant and tree. When you analyze it, when you carefully look into it, there is nothing substantial in that. So all your activities, formations, all your formations are that. Anicca, impermanent, unsatisfactory, soulless. Is there any substance in this? No substance. So that's compared to a tender plant and tree which has nothing substantial in it. Then we come to the consciousness, which played a vital role in producing the mental factors and performing their task, thereby creating a false impression in you. Buddha compares this consciousness to a conjurer who create things for you, create deception for you and mislead you. That is the part this consciousness does, create situations where you are completely misled. But you live in them as if they are existing. Now isn't this doing all your activities of the sense bases, like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking? All those are formations which you commit through your sense-based activities. Now, what is the value you would attach to these things? The value is given. When you analyze the comparisons, Buddha has given to each of those five mental factors, which are actually the substance of the thought created, because it's after they perform their task, the thought is created. Consciousness by itself is not a thought. And you find that there is nothing in this, nothing substantial in this, an empty thing, but a creation by the mind. That is the thing that you have to bear in mind. Not only is a creation of the, by the mind, brothers and sisters, there is in that creation by the mind a creator is situated, created. A creator is also there, and that's also a complete delusion created by the mind. You see that in the act of experiencing objects through the six sense bases, such activities performed by the mind, by the creation of a thought. In the creation of that thought, there are the five mental factors which are compared to five distinct objects, which clearly indicate you leave in no doubt at all that there is no substance in that activity. That thought that is created for you to see. You have seen something before you. But according to the analysis we have made just now, that act of seeing has been committed by the five mental factors, which are of no value at all, no substance at all, but a mere creation, a fabrication. That what you see is also absolutely a false picture. Then nothing like that. This consciousness has created all this for you. Take the case of the ear. You hear something, and that too as a result of a thought. That thought has been created by the five mental factors, the comparison of which indicate that there is no substance in those in that activity. So what have you heard? You have heard nothing. It's just a fabrication by the mind, by the consciousness. In the same way, when you consider the activities of the six sense bases, without probing deep into their performance, on the face value of it, like the ordinary worldling assessors experiences which he gains through the six sense bases, you are completely misled that there is substance in these activities. Whereas there is no substance, clear indication of the situation is the comparison given to each of these activities by Buddha to clearly indicate that it is complete a fabrication by the mind. Therefore, what you see is a creation by the mind. What you hear is a creation by the mind. What you smell is a creation by the mind. What you taste is a creation by the mind. What you contact is a creation by the mind. What you think is also a creation by the mind. And it is with these experiences, brothers and sisters, that you have created a world around you. And you live in that world. Ask the question, if these thoughts created in connection with my eye, with my nose, with my tongue, with my ear, with my body and with my thinking process, created a world around me, said to contain substances, said to contain something substantial in this creation, but having analyzed this creation carefully and that creation is a creation of thought by the various sense bases performing their tasks, there is nothing absolutely in this world that has been created around you. You have been completely misled by the mind. That is the wonderful thing. And it is in this analysis of the five grasping groups and also the components that create the thought that you clearly come to this conclusion, a reasonable conclusion, that the world that has been created by the six mental bases, experiences gone through them, where we have created formations, all these formations have contributed to the creation of the world, and this creation is completely a fabrication, delusion. Now imagine what this consciousness has done. And you begin to understand now, when Buddha called this consciousness a conjurer, who had the capacity to create things for you which are not true. Now you realistically understand the meaning given by Buddha to this consciousness upon whom we depend so much. In fact, you depend on the consciousness about seeing things. You depend on the consciousness in hearing things. You depend on the consciousness in smelling things. You depend on the consciousness in tasting things. Again, depend on the consciousness in contacting things and also imagining things. Now this consciousness, it has a capacity to create false pictures, false situations and mislead you completely. And when we analyze the functioning of the mind, the content in the creation of the thought by the mind, also the values attached to all these different details which perform their task to create the mind, we have a clear picture before us that all the thoughts that are created by the consciousness are nothing but fabrications and delusions. And you as a worldling saw something and believed it. You as a worldling heard something and believed it. You as a worldling smelled something and believed it. You as a worldling contacted something and experienced a thing called a taste. You as a worldling had bodily contacts and depended on them. And you as a worldling thought, created thoughts and dependent on those creations. Can you imagine the struggle we are going through with these six sense bases? After all, your entire battle in trying to gain your liberation depends entirely on how you have analyzed the functions of the six sense bases which perform the task of your existence on this earth. You have a body and the mind. From activities by these sense bases in the way of creating formation. And Buddha clearly indicated to you that all the formations that are created by this mind are all absolute fabrications, delusions. Now think about yourself. What is the world you live in? Is it the world of two incidents happening right around you, or is it a world that has been created for you to mislead you? You can well imagine the statement made by the evil one Mara when Buddha was addressing a crowd of assembly of bhikkhus about Nibbana. I referred to this incident earlier too. Mara appeared there and questioned Buddha, what are you doing? You are leading these bhikkhus to attain their liberation. But do you forget the fact that they are using my equipment? The eye is my equipment. The nose is my equipment. The ear is my equipment. The tongue is my equipment. The body is my equipment. And the very thinking is done by the consciousness, which is also my equipment. And they make use of this equipment for their worldly life, for their existence, so to say. And now you are showing a path to these persons who are making use of my equipment, which is only meant for a worldly way of life, to gain their liberation. Could this be that? Buddha very frankly admitted, yes, Mara, what you say is true. The eye is your equipment. The nose is your equipment. The ear is your equipment. The tongue is your equipment. The body is your equipment, and the very consciousness is also your equipment. But I am just showing them the truth about the use of these equipment so that they will not be deceived by this equipment and they will gain their liberation. No, even if they pass that barrier, still there is I, mine and soul which I have planted in them. Then Nibbana is something beyond that. Mara went away. Now you can imagine, you have been leading a worldly life. You have made use of this equipment to lead that life. In the past you have truthfully believed the results you have achieved as a result of making use of this equipment. Can you justify yourself that you have truthfully done an honest job of work in your existence in the past? Of course, you cannot be detected easily, because every one of your brothers and sisters living in this world are also using the same equipment. And this world is also equipped with objects which can be subject to this equipment provided by Mara. And when you see, they also see. When you say that they smell, they also smell. Likewise, performance are all commonly done. But to summarize that performance, it is completely a delusion that all of us are living in. So much so, the delusion is so impressive, is so forceful before you, that you can't create a doubt, brothers and sisters, that it is a delusion. Except in the way of analyzing carefully the part played by the five mental factors which create the thought in you, and the performance of these bases that are provided by Mara, so to say, as his equipment for our existence in this world, then you begin to clearly see through things that all of us are deceived. All of us are deceived. If, brothers and sisters, if you say that attachment or desire created by these six sense bases enables you to continue existence from birth to birth, birth to birth, birth to birth, isn't that too a deception created by the mind? This is the situation we are in. And how does this so-called false view created in your mind by the five grasping groups perform this fictitious activity in yourself, this fabricated activity in yourself? They appear, the five are grasped together. After all, they have contributed much to create desire, and you are a desirous person, and desire has put them together, the five things together, as a result of grasping. Grasping is the result of your attachment, desire. Desire keeps you grasping together. It always sees things together, not singly. Though you make a subsequent analysis of the whole thing, one bunch, these five. And what is the impression you get when this one bunch consisting of these five grasping groups function together? That there is a being in you. There is somebody in you who is responsible for my seeing, for my hearing, for my tasting, for my contacting, for my thinking. There is somebody. And who creates that somebody? The five grasping groups have created that somebody, a false impression. And that's why it's called a delusion. And you have been misled completely. You see and you think I see, which is false. You hear and you think that I hear. Again, you perform the other activities to sense basis, and you assess them as your experiences. That is what this grasping group has done to you. Not only it holds on you in this birth, even at the time of your death, brothers and sisters, when you experience the last thought created as a result of a karmic force which you have committed, or the result of a karmic force which you have committed, you will see the last thought you create also accompanies the five grasping groups. That's the Kamma Vijnana, you call it. Vijnana created by the Kamma. The act of performing the wrong or the correct or the right thing, the act of, or the result of, brought about by that karmic force which you committed. One of these two things will be the object of the thought you have created, and in the thought you have created there is these five grasping roots accompanying you. Buddha says there is no occasion that a thought can be created apart from the five grasping groups. If you say you are born at a place, the five grasping groups accompany that thought that settles in that new birth. If you say that you are passing away, you have passed away, the five grasping groups have passed away with your last thought. There is no arrival or departure of thinking without these five grasping groups accompanying this process. You have created such a powerful impression in the mind, and that powerful impression has created in you a being who is responsible for all your activities. When you, all your activities are performed as a result of cause and effect. The body by itself cannot perform any act. It is just one mass of elements. It is the mind that directs the performance of activities by the body. But in this instance, these five grasping groups has completely disillusioned you, or brought about an illusion in you, in making you to believe a thing that is not existing. And that is, when cause and effect has created a certain activity, you are under the impression, or you create a false impression in you, that it is committed by the person who is within you as the author of all your activities. Now, how to get over these five grasping groups? You must have the capacity to analyze every thought in this manner, as we did before, and understand each functions of each of these groups, like contact, feeling, perception, volition, and consciousness. These must be carefully analyzed, the part they play in this creation. Also, you have the illustration given by Buddha, giving a proper assessment of each of these qualities, that also must be borne in mind. That those examples given by Buddha, quoted by Buddha, giving us an idea of the values of each of these components, you find that the comparisons clearly indicate that there is nothing substantial in them. It's pure imagination, nothing else. Of course, there is the vision outside that there is a being. When I speak like this, when I act like this, of course you feel that there is so and so in me. And you may give the designation with which I am known, but actually it is somebody in this person who is doing these acts. That's the conclusion you arrive at when you observe my activities. So is the result any other person would also arrive at if he or she observes somebody performing these acts, which are common to all human beings. Now, when you think of it, brothers and sisters, as I've explained to you, the five grasping groups continue this activity from birth to birth. The ignorance they have displayed in you about the realistic aspect of the grasping groups and they are performing acts which are completely delusions indicate that unless you have a proper knowledge of Dhamma and you conduct a proper analysis of these five grasping groups and realistically understand them as delusions, brothers and sisters, you have no escape from this life. You will continue to live. You will continue to live as being. In the same manner you have lived in the past up to this date, millions and millions of years as beings. And this is just one occasion of the birth of this Buddha, who has clearly indicated this delusion that has been created in our minds. In fact, brothers and sisters, we have to challenge every activity of the sense base as a performance of something which is a delusion. That is the category you have to put all your experiences through the six sense bases. Complete deception and nothing else. And that is the world you have living in. And that is the very world you are expected to break through your meditation. In the proper analysis you have to bring about through Dhamma treat by Buddha, to what he has revealed to us. And when you go on analyzing and developing your knowledge to that height of seeing the truth, you will ultimately see that there is nothing called a body in you which is also creation by the formations. There is nothing called a thinking process in you, which is also creation by the formations, and there's nothing in you. Absolutely nothing. And that is the final conclusion you arrive at after analyzing all these things carefully in the Dhamma way. And if you see that as the truth you finally observe, my dear brothers and sisters, I tell you clearly that you have attained your liberation. And nothing further to see, nothing further to experience. You have seen the truth. And the truth is that there is nothing called a body and a mind. It's all a mental creation. And you have at last identified this creation. And the final attainment or final effort made by the consciousness to escape your scrutiny is to continue to think, making you to think, giving an impression it is this consciousness that he created in the thoughts. But after you have created that state of equanimity in the mind, in the path which you followed to your development, then you find that the mind is also subject to the same conditions as any other. And you begin to analyze the mind with the realities, whether it is permanent or impermanent, whether it is satisfactory or not satisfactory, whether it has continuity or no continuity. And as you go on analyzing this tranquil mind, you will see the mind quietly, maybe having understood that you have seen the truth, stops the delusions it has created, disappears from your very vision, creating a void in you. And ultimately, the maturity of that void leads you to your final liberation. Brothers and sisters, these are the five aggregates. These are the grasping rules which you must carefully understand. And I have been very clearly explaining these things to you so that you clearly know what they are and what they have done to you. And if you realistically understand them, identify them in the true sense, you will gain your liberation. May you all attain Nibbana. Thank you all.